Yeah, I know. I heard the damn like dog whistle sound.
I think I turned my thing up too loud. So
it's all right.
It'll work.
It only deafened me for a moment.
See, I take the headset off, right, and then turn the volume on my mic on my headset up.
Oh, okay.
And so then I turn it back down when I put it back on my head.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I think I turned it up really loud that time.
It's all right. It's all good. How was your weekend, man?
It was good. Very good. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan. There's so much content, and I was able to catch up on a lot of it this weekend.
So are you a WWE guy or AEW guy now? Like,
I'm into everything, but AEW, I'm extremely happy with what they're doing. I've bought a bunch of T-shirts, went out and bought some T-shirts this weekend to support them.
Nice.
Love what they're doing. I love this stuff. I love the guys that came out of the New Japan promotion. Kenny Omega, you know, Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks. And yeah, I'm liking AEW a lot. I've seen both shows, and I'm liking it. But I still like WWE. I like NXT. What's really cool is how many other promotions are rising up. Like NWA is an older promotion that Billy Corgan, I believe, I could be mistaken, but I think Billy Corgan is the one who owns it now. And it's running out of Atlanta. And then Master P just bought a promotion in New York, House of Glory. So everybody's getting in it, and it's wrestling's coming back.
Is it because of how little wrestling was happening over at WWE, and like people are wanting to get back to the time where you spent more time in matches than you did talking?
That's part of it, I think. WWE, and as I said, I enjoy it to a degree, but it's gotten stale. It just did. It got stale. The last, since CM Punk left, maybe 5 years now, something like that, they've been treading water. Nothing really interesting happening outside of Becky Lynch. And so, I don't know. I think other people saw an opening. You know, they saw the potential. They're like, you know what? The fans are still there. They're still hungry. You know, they still want something, and let's offer an alternative. And they are. And it's forcing WWE to step up, because now they have competition again.
Well, competition always, always breeds innovation. Like, not to get too political or anything like that, but, you know, whenever competition is stifled, whenever you get, say, the government gets into a market and it swings the might of the government around to offer something, others can't compete. The government can use regulations. They can cut their prices because they're subsidized by the taxpayer, and they can dry up all competition. And then what's the point of becoming innovative? And the same thing with monopolies and the regular open market, you know, a free market where anybody can come in with the idea and offer it better or more efficient or for less money causes the big competition to pay attention and change the way that they do things. And wrestling is no different. It was bad when WCW was bought by WWE.
Yes.
That was terrible, because there was a time in the 90s, dude, where WCW was actually doing better than WWE.
That's right.
And I used to be a big fan of WCW. I was a huge Diamond Dallas Page fan. I like the storyline that was going over there with Raven and his flock, and Saturn and Billy Kidman were all connected to that.
I love Billy Kidman. Was one of my favorites back in the day.
Yeah.
Cruiserweights.
Yep, definitely. And it was great. And then McMahon got tired of competing and just, you know, did what McMahon does, which business-wise, he's been smart. Now, they own NXT, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but they don't own AEW.
No. They do not at all. It's owned by Tony Khan, I think is his name. It's the son of, or well, actually, the father owns it. The guy that owns the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay.
They own AEW. And they've partnered with TNT. So it's a TNT product.
Very cool. Because WCW used to be on TNT, right?
Yeah. which is funny.
What is AEW, American Entertainment Wrestling or something
all
like that?
All Elite Wrestling.
All Elite. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that comes out of the Elite, which was a group of guys from New Japan, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, Cody.
Who's the big WWE, former WWE names over at AEW right now?
There's a couple. Chris Jericho, the biggest, and he's their champion. And then you have Dean Ambrose, who's now going by his old wrestling name, John Moxley. That was a big one because he was part of the Shield with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Mm-hmm. So he's a new, young, you know, recent champion. A couple years ago. So he, you know, that was a big one. And then they got Ty Dillinger's over there. He I think he goes by Sean Spears now. I'm trying to remember who else. Jack Swagger's there now, and he goes by his real name. So they're pulling guys, and WWE is getting really aggressive with re-signing of contracts. And, you know, there's a lot of podcasts out there that track this stuff, and there's several people right now in WWE who have refused to re-sign. And so the assumption is, well, gee, if they're not going to re-sign, wonder what they're going to do when their contract ends, you know?
Yeah. Do you think some of the wrestlers are getting tired of not wrestling? Because, like, that's been a big deal. That's my grandmother is, or at least she used to still be into wrestling big a few years ago. And whenever I'd visit, you know, when shows would come on, we'd watch them. And I would just be like, dear God, I remember a time where you got 5 to 7 matches in a night. And now you're getting, like, 3. And everything else is, yeah, it might be like a backstage brawl or a brawl while somebody's talking in the ring. But you weren't getting a lot of wrestling. You think even the wrestlers are getting upset about that?
Absolutely. WWE over the last several years, it's a lot. They've gone a little too much with the comedy, and which is, I like it a little bit, but, you know, I think they've gone overboard. And then a lot of their promos are just so scripted. Like, you can tell it's scripted. It doesn't sound natural. And that's one thing AEW, you know, said, we will not do. We will not script our guys in. Anyone who's into wrestling or wants to get back into it, go and listen to this past week's AEW Chris Jericho promo. He cut a promo, one of the best promos I've ever heard, ever. And you could tell it wasn't scripted. He went up there. He probably worked out a few things he was going to do, but no one told him what to say.
Yeah.
And you could tell. And it was a breath of fresh air. And that's what I want WWE to do more of.
Very cool. Yeah. I miss being into wrestling, and I miss, like, that excitement. There in Nashville, not too far from where we attended high school, I saw a SmackDown, I saw a Raw, and I also saw the 2002 Judgment Day pay-per-view, all in Nashville. Like, I used to be big into this shit, you know, pay the tickets to go, or pay the money to go see the shows, and it was something really cool and fun to be in. When I was young, my dad would watch it with me, and then when I got older, like in high school, like finishing up high school was like the time I was getting out of it. I'd still go to the live shows because that's always a fun, you know, fun thing to do. But as far as like TV, I was kind of, it was falling out of favor with me. And it's just because it was the same old stuff. You know, it had been a few years since WCW had been brought into the fold, and just things were kind of, like you said, getting stale. And every now and then I'll watch old stuff from the 90s, old stuff from the 80s. And I miss that. And so I might give this AEW thing a try.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. I got out of wrestling around, it's about 2003 or four. And then I didn't get back in until about 2014. I started, you know, checking it back out a little bit. So I did. I basically missed the Cena era. like for the most part, I missed the John Cena era. And then started getting back into it a little bit. But what was really hooking me was the Japan stuff. So, you know, and NXT. So it's like, okay, I'm watching Raw, I'm watching SmackDown, but look at what NXT is doing. Look at, you know, what New Japan's doing. And so that's what really hooked me back.
What's so interesting about the New Japan stuff?
New Japan, it hits so hard, man. Those guys, they go in there with the... First of all, as you were saying earlier, it's more wrestling. These guys are going in that ring, and they are going for it. And they just hit... They're a little stiffer with their moves. They hit a little harder. It feels more real, basically. And they do some of the goofy stuff too, but not nearly as much as WWE does. And the Bullet Club was a big deal. And that was a faction that within New Japan that was really cool. Had a lot of good guys. And a lot of guys that ended up in WWE. Let me think. AJ Styles, Adam Cole. Finn Balor. I can't believe I forgot him. He's the one that invented or created Bullet Club.
Hmm. Cool. Well, this will be like the longest cold open that we've ever had, but good morning, everybody, and welcome to LR Mornings with Kyle and
Brian.
And I don't think I've ever talked wrestling on LR Mornings.
I don't think we've ever talked wrestling.
Not in like this type of depth or anything, because it's been years since anybody's really been into it that I know, you know? But that's pretty cool. I think Anthony on our website, I think he's into it. I think he's one of the contributors that's into wrestling. I'm trying to remember who tweets wrestling stuff, and I think it's Anthony. So let us know in the comments below if you'd like to see some wrestling coverage. Maybe we can beg Brian to write about it. Other than wrestling, man, what'd you do this weekend? Did you watch any new movies or anything?
No.
Watch any classic stuff?
I queued up Peaky Blinders, but I have yet to start it. I will be marathoning it over the next couple days.
Yeah, I think it was last season, season three or something like that, Christine wasn't as into as she was the first two seasons. Or was it she wasn't into season two as much as she was season one? Something like that. There's a season that she didn't really care for.
Four is amazing, and five's the one that's up now.
Okay. I'm not quite sure. I did show her Hocus Pocus. She had never seen that before.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, you got to remember, her family is not big on Halloween.
Yeah.
What'd she think? She enjoyed it. Yeah. She liked it. It had been years and years and years since I had seen it. God, dude, I don't think I've watched it since I've been married. So, yeah, over 12 years at least since I had last seen that movie. And it is still surprisingly good for a kid's Halloween. But one thing I noticed, for a kid's Halloween movie, they sure make a big deal about virgins in that and make it, you know, to where being a virgin is such a bad thing. Like the last line is Zachary Binks is, you know, back as a ghost, and he's like, you know, I had to wait 300 years for a virgin to come. I was just sitting there thinking to myself, man, that is, I wonder if that would get a PG or G rating these days. It might get a PG-13 rating just because of like the little girl's comments about the older girl's, you know, breasts and yeah. The funny name that the lead male uses for them. And it was just interesting to kind of see it again, considering how long it had been.
What year was that?
94?
Was it
94? Let's see here. Hocus Pocus was 93.
Okay. I was thinking that only because it's, yeah, like you said, it still had a little bit of remnants of that 80s, you know, kid movies where it still had a few edgy things in it.
Yeah. When's the last time you saw it?
Many, many years. I've seen pieces of it probably every year because it's always on TV around Halloween.
Yeah.
But to sit down and watch it from beginning to end, at least 10 or more years.
It was released straight to VHS in North America in 1994. Interesting. Anyways, I want to show her Ernest Scared Stupid next.
I've seen that much more recently.
Did you still like it when you saw it again?
Yeah. I think it's nostalgia.
Yeah. You know. Oh, well, yeah.
But
the Ernest stuff is utterly just stupid.
Yes.
But in like the best way.
Yes. Well said. I don't think I could have said it any better. Yeah.
And other things that I want to show her that she's never seen before, House of a Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects.
I love both those movies.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's the month to be spooky. It's Halloween time, you know. I'm got my house decorated. I gotta do a few more things out front, but I'm totally excited about that. And something I was thinking about doing is revisiting some old horror games. What are your favorite horror video games? Like your Survivor horror, just, you know, Silent Hill, Resident Evil, Fatal Frame, that type of stuff.
Yeah, those. Silent Hill, Silent Hill 2, Resident Evil 2 and 4.
4 was great.
Yeah, I love 4. I'm trying to think. I mean, it's Castlevania series. I don't really count in that realm, but, it, you know, vampires and all that stuff. Huge fan of that series.
Did you ever play Dead Space?
I did. It was good. I played the first one. I didn't play the sequels.
Yeah. You know what was not really a horror game, but had a lot of horror elements? BioShock.
I played all of those. Yeah. You're right.
First
I didn't think
BioShock.
About that. Yeah.
It's got some decent jump scares. It's a very eerie, creepy feeling game. I wouldn't put it in the survivor horror genre, but it teeters there.
It's close. Especially the first two.
It could easily cross over. Yeah. Yeah. And that constant fear of the water just coming in. Like, I don't think I could ever visit Rapture if it existed in real life. I'd be like, no, man, I'm good.
No.
No. I'm fine. Like, even if it was like, oh, no, this is, you know, 10-inch acrylic double sealed and no, I'm not doing it. I'm not going down there. Although I can't say that I wouldn't be against splicing a little bit, you know, temporary telekinesis and pyrokinesis, that could be fun.
I don't know, man. There's some rough physical effects on the body with some of those things.
Yeah, you know, when you want to throw a fireball, your flesh ignites into fire, but
Does play into the horror element, you know?
Yeah. It does. You know, me and you've talked about BioShock movie before because that's been a rumor for a long time that I don't remember which studio, but somebody's working on a BioShock movie. And I think me and you discussed in another episode of LR Mornings that it would do better as a like 8-episode streaming series.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%. And I think you could lean in heavy to the horror elements in a streaming show. Like more than just the mystery. Like, I don't know. I think you could take the first game and make a really good 8-episode show, but I think you could lean heavy into the horror elements and make it scary. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I would much prefer it be a streaming show, because if you did a film, whoever made it would feel compelled to have that action sequence ending and where if you do a show, they can let it breathe, tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the big issues with video game movies is they try to replicate that idea of the action in a video game.
And you can't do that.
And you really can't. So, you know, focus on the story.
Yeah. It's not that you can't do action in a movie. Of course you can do action in a movie. It's just that you can't replicate what happens in a video game on screen like that, because it's, excuse me, part of that action feel is all about the player. You're controlling it and your direct interaction with it, not so much just watching it, you know?
The Doom movie is a great example of the worst way of handling every aspect of a video game movie. Messing up the story, the first person sequence. I mean, just everything about it's horrible. And yet I do enjoy The Rock in it, but yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, it is Monday morning, and that means we get to try out our second week in a row of our game Monday movie mashup. Pause. I forgot the bucket. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Okay.
Alrighty, I'm back.
All right.
Did you listen to the last episode?
Yes.
What'd you think? You liked it?
Yeah, this should be all interesting. Right.
So hold on. Here we go. So yeah, Brian, I would like to assume that you listened to last week's episode. What'd you think of the game?
Yeah, it seems fun. I practiced and
okay.
One went really well and one went really horrible. So I think it just depends on what you get, you know.
Did you practice with like a friend or
no? I just ran. Just I wrote down a bunch of movies, pulled, and the first one was Wrath of Khan, Forrest Gump.
Oh,
and that went well. Actually, you know, the second one.
See where that could go.
Second one was Jurassic Park and Roger Rabbit. That did not go well. I don't know. It just didn't click for me, and I kept trying, and I was like, oh, this is bad.
Oh man, well. I am, I went first last time and I've been thinking about how I'm going to do this with guests. So whenever I have a new guest that's never played the game before, they're going to get to go first. So I've got my bucket of, well, actually it's more like a bowl of titles here. And for those of you that did not listen last week, what Monday Movie Mashup is, we draw two titles from a bowl and you have to create a new movie using elements from those, and you're basically like pitching the movie. You know, you give it its beginning, its middle, its end, its characters, and you just kind of, you know, summarize this new movie made up of two other movies. So, Brian, are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
All right, here we go. Closing my eyes. I've got one. All right, yeah, that's only one. And I've got two. All right. Brian, you need... Whoa. That is...
It's something I haven't seen?
No, you've seen both of these. Right. It's just... It's so weird that they came out at the same time because they're already almost combined. Oh, so...
No, tell me them. Don't cheat.
Mallrats and Chasing Amy.
Oh, God.
I mean, they're basically already combined.
Yeah, I don't...
I think we should redraw.
You know... Yes, I agree because
Let's redraw. That one's a little it's already connected. It's already connected. Completely. All right. So, here we go. Here we got one and we've got two. All right. Brian. Mm. When Harry Met Sally meets Star Wars.
All of Star Wars.
No, just Star Wars A New Hope.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God. Okay. That's so weird. Okay. A New Hope, huh? All right, so... all right, there's this guy named Harry. And he works on... He lives in this planet, Tatooine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he... His best friend is this guy named Luke. And, you know, and they hang out every so often. So one day he comes to go see Luke and everything's destroyed. Like the house is gone. Everything's wiped out. And Harry's freaking out. He's like, oh, my God, you know, what's going on? So he ends up looking for his friend. So he makes his way to this cantina and he sees him. He's like, Luke, what's going on? Luke explains to him that, you know, a bunch of bad stuff's going on and that he's about to go on this adventure to rescue this princess. So Harry joins him. And so they're going, you know, to save this princess. And this is terrible, man. Okay.
Finish the movie.
Okay. So they're going on this adventure and then they end up, there's this giant space station, you know, they land on this giant space station and Luke and goes to find this princess and Harry gets separated. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So while Harry gets separated, he ends up in this room and there's this officer named Sally. Okay. And, you know, he's trying to talk his way, you know, out of the situation because he's afraid he's going to get arrested. And she sort of, into it. I am not reenacting a certain scene from this movie. I know where this is going. That's not happening. So he meets her, and she's sort of into him, and they decide to go get some sandwiches, you know, and talk. So they get those sandwiches, And by the end of their conversation, she realizes, you know, I'm done with the Empire, and I'm going to hang out with you and your friends. So she helps Luke and the princess and everybody escape. There's a big battle. They destroy the Death Star, and Harry met Sally on the Death Star.
Oh, God.
You feel like you have an audience just staring at you.
Yeah,
You feel like you're on a stage, man.
They're staring at their phone screens or the computer screens, like, expecting you to do the
same. Oh, I know what they're expecting.
And you had a good opportunity to do it. I like where he met an officer. Like, that works. I would have had them, like, living on the Death Star, like, expanding out the time it takes between Luke and Leia and Han leaving the Death Star. Mm. Like, they have their whole relationship, and he's finally, you know, they've been friends, and then the Death Star explodes with them on it. Not too bad for your first time.
I work with kids. I can't have that sound bite existing. Just saying.
Alrighty, so here we go. Good job on your first Monday movie mashup. Right. That was a difficult mix. So let's see what I've got. Alright, closing my eyes. And I've got one title. And I've got two titles. Alright. Dear God. Beauty and the Beast meets Gremlins.
Oh. Huh.
Alright. So we're in, like, a revolutionary age of France, right? And there's this female named Belle, and she's a bookworm, and she's really pretty. She's kind of like jealousy of other women in the village. And there's this one dude that really wants her, but she's not into him. His name is Gaston. Gaston? Is that how you pronounce it? I don't remember. Right? Gaston?
Yeah, Gaston? Gaston?
Gaston?
Somewhere.
Gaston. Maybe. Anyway, so Gaston's into her. She's not into him. And she's got this friend that works at a bank, like a French bank. And he's got a dog, and she's kind of cool with him. She likes them. And on her, like, downtime, whenever she's not reading books and stuff, she works at the local stage theater, right? The theater stage. And it's Christmas time. There's this big castle out on the far edge of town, and her dad is doing, like, a supply run. There's this storm, and he gets stuck at this castle, and she goes looking for him because he doesn't come back. She knew that he was going to go into a place that's between the town and the castle's, like, in the middle, so she figures, hey, I didn't see him in this town. He's not where he was at. Let's check the castle. And in the castle, she meets this tiny furry thing, and it could talk. And it's like, hey, check it out. You know, here in this castle, your dad was here, but he's not here anymore. I don't know where the hell he went, because I don't remember that part of Beauty and the Beast. But we're all cursed in here, and we need your help. We need your help to get uncursed. I'm this Mogwai thing, cursed by a witch, and I've got to fall in love. Could you ever love me? And she's like, oh, God, no, you're this weird looking thing. So I have no idea where I should take this damn thing. So he's like, okay, well, if you're not going to love me, could you at least hang out and you know, have dinner with me, right? And we all know that gremlins aren't supposed to eat after midnight, but she doesn't know any of this stuff, and it takes a long time to prepare the meal. And so they all sit down and have their meal, and she goes home. Well, at the castle, everything starts metamorphosizing, and we get the gremlins, right? And so the gremlins come down from the castle, and they start attacking the town. And all sorts of bad things are happening with, they don't really have machines, because it's like French Revolutionary, or, you know, Revolutionary era of France. So the gremlins are just, you know, tearing people up at the bakeries and messing with things like that. And she eventually sees the lead one and recognizes that that's the main one. That's the Mogwai. That was the what should have been the Beast. And he's like, you know, you had your chance. You could have fallen in love with me when I was cute and cuddly, and I would have turned back into a human. But now we're just going to destroy your town because you're a terrible person. And that's what happens. The gremlins destroy the town because this is incredibly difficult for me to mix and match. And they spread across the entire western part of Europe, just taking over, continuously getting wet and multiplying. And the end.
Only thing I would have done, the ending would have been the same. I would have had Gaston go to a witch to get the gremlins to wage war against the beast.
That would have been interesting.
But the ending would have been the same.
The ending would have been the same. Gremlins taking over. Yeah. That is... Oh, man, I feel bad because my Titanic big was great.
I listened to that.
So that's Monday Movie Mashup, ladies and gentlemen. Let us know what you think about it. They can't all be winners. And this is only our you know, second time ever playing this game. So leave some comments below. Tell us what you thought about Brian and Mines, and check out last week's episode. And next week, we will definitely have some more. We are constantly adding titles to the bucket. So I've got a small bowl right now with like 40 some odd pieces of paper. And we'll keep adding.
Is Broken Arrow in there?
No, but that would be an interesting one to add.
Some John Woo.
I could see some, you know, there's this nuclear weapon.
Face Off.
And Face Off? No, I don't think Face Off is in there.
Dude.
But Broken Arrow meets like some sort of romantic. Broken Arrow meets Blast from the Past.
Oh, God. That would...
Broken Arrow meets Blast from the Past. That would actually, I could see where that one could go quite well. Anyways, thanks so much for being on the show today, Brian. Thanks for playing the game. And yeah, man, it's a lot of fun. I look forward to having you back on sometime in the next few weeks to play again. You've got a channel that isn't doing a lot right now, but you told me you're going to be doing something coming up with your YouTube channel. What are you planning on doing?
I will be reviewing The Mandalorian every week.
Ooh.
Or talking
that
about
is,
it.
Yeah. That is 1 month away.
I don't know.
November 12th. What's the name of your YouTube channel?
It's Pulp Mythos. That's one word, PULPMYTHOS. I did Game of Thrones in the past, and
you did true crime too, like one season of it. Didn't
I don't know if that's still. I took a bunch of stuff down. That might still be up. Okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you go and check out Brian's channel. Check out all of his past stuff on Game of Thrones, and check out his channel starting. Are you going to get it up on November 12th or the 13th, like the day after?
It'll probably be late that night.
It'll be all right,
Within like a 12-hour period.
Yeah, go subscribe, hit the bell, so that way you guys can be alerted and check out Brian and his buddies' reviews of The Mandalorian, while also checking out what we're going to be doing with The Mandalorian here at LRMonline.com. We'll definitely be talking about it on LR Mornings, Los Fanboys, Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, might even mention some things. They do a lot of reviews. So, yeah, make sure you're subscribed to the LRM Online Podcast Network, wherever you get your podcasts from. Check out the website, LRMonline.com, every single day for all your entertainment news needs. You guys can find me at ThatKyleMalone on Twitter. Brian, are you thinking about maybe getting a Twitter now that you're going to be doing more stuff with your channel?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Maybe.
Find me on YouTube.
If you guys got some comments for Brian, leave it on his YouTube or leave it in the comments below. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow.